our Bible to John chapter 1. We read from verses 10 to 13, four verses. The Gospel according to St. John chapter 1. And we read from verses 10 to 13. Are we there? They're not there, say, Pastor, wait for me. I believe everybody's there. John chapter 1, reading from 10 to 13. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of the will of God. The Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his words in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The power of being a child of God. The power of being a child of God. We have read it. We read John 1, 10 to 13. And you recall that the difference between a son and a disciple can sometimes be underestimated. Before my father died, I have full respect, full right, rather, to open his door at any time. And it was because of the culture of respect and courtesy that made me knock his door once in a while. I just enter any time. Even the adult children I have at home is the same thing. I don't think they ever knock before they even enter. So there could never have been a time when, by just entering without knocking, my father would disown me. No. Never. So the contrary, no visitor can do that. We all know that. There was no outside that relationship that could match that relationship. So if my dad were the president of this country, and I decided to pass through his office to say hi, for any reason whatsoever, his assistants will respectfully say to me, okay, wait, let's check whether it's available. Okay? But there is no way they will ask me to return home without saying anything. Okay? So the thing is, for other people, my father may be the president or the chairman, the CEO, or even the pastor. But to me, he's simply my dad. And this alone dismantles any obstacle between me and him. That is the power of being a child. It has power. So as God's children, our relationship with God, our Father, is mostly misunderstood. Most Christians see him as faraway entity whose door you may open under certain circumstances. That's how some Christians see God. Some even thought you may never come near him or near his presence. That there is a certain rhythm of words you have to alter before you get to him. Some are scared to even say, good morning, Lord, because to them, it is too casual. You can see it. That Job gave an example of how he was criticized when he started referring to God as his father. My daddy said, you are looking at him, who are you? Because he knew the relationship between him and his daddy. Most of us don't treat our God. We don't treat God as our parent. We simply treat him like someone we need to book an appointment before we see. And this is not the meaning portrayed in that Bible passage that we read, John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Okay? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not of the will of a man, but of God. Now, if the situation is like this, therefore, what we receive at second birth is the power to become children of God. We are not slaves. We are not servants. I want us to keep that fact. Once you give your life to Christ, you have become a child of God. Number two, we receive the right to become children of God, and the best way to understand this is to think of our relationship with our happy parents. We receive that right to become children. And then while it is extremely difficult to see a parent disowning their own child for any reason, it is even more impossible for God to disown us. Isaiah 49:15, clarifies that. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. Yet I will not forget you. Praise the Lord. That is the promise of God for us. It is possible for your earthly mother to forget you. It is possible for your earthly father to forget you. I listened to this drama that is usually on the family radio, or sometimes it comes on Moody Radio, sponsored by this very powerful ministry in Chicago. I can't remember the name now. There's this drama, how a woman rejected after she thought she has done enough for that child. When the child found herself in the police station and in the prison and called the mother again, the mother said, no, I think I have had enough for you. It's better I do not have you as a child. Yeah, that can come from a human parent. But God is saying, no matter what happens, I will not forget you. So we all know that our happy parents love us. Yes, there is no way they could love us more than God loves us. And this is true. It means we may have been missing out a lot by not leveraging our relationship with God. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm speaking about parent-child relationship. I'm not attempting to mean that just anyone on the street can knock at God's door and claim to have the right to do so. I'm not claiming that. Anybody wants to do that must first of all be a child of God. So just as no one can stray to your door and claim to be your child, demand to enter your home, no one can do so with God as well. Nobody can just stray from anywhere and say, oh yeah, God, where are you? No. First and foremost, you must be born again to have this right of being a child of God. And the way to do this is to realize that you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself. We must know that we need a Savior and that no matter how powerful we are here on earth, we cannot deliver ourselves from eternal damnation and destruction. But once we give our life to Christ, we must then behave like a child of God. We are only a child of our earthly parents because we behave in that manner. The Bible says to honor your father and your mother. And two children have inbuilt honor and respect for their parents. So there is a special compartment in our heart that makes us love our parents. It is not the work of man. And no computer can imitate this. It is the special bond that makes parents to point to you in the presence of others and say, this is my son. This is my daughter. And they are proud of you. It's a special bond. So in like manner, God is proud to point to you and say, this is my child. And what makes this possible is your relationship with God. It's not based on a set of rules, but on special compartment in your heart that makes you act in manners that makes him, that is God, proud. So it becomes natural not to offend God. Our heart abhors sin. And we naturally want to stay away from sin. We are not obeying God because the police is watching us. No. We are not doing so because it's us, me, on the inside. We are doing it because it is necessary. We are doing it because it's a requirement as a born-again child of God. So the question we must ask ourselves this morning is, do we have a father-child relationship with God? If we don't, then we are surely missing out. As a child of God, we need to relax and not live in fear. We need to live in love. 2 Timothy 1:7. Because God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But of power. And of love and of sound mind. So that when you see certain things going on, as a child of God, you don't need to fear. Because you have your father. And because you are a child of him, and you have somebody who you know can overpower anything, you will stand solid in love, in peace. May your heart live in peace in the mighty name of Jesus. So this morning what I'm telling us is that we need to change our perspective and use that power that God has given us as his child. The power that Christ gave us to be the child of God. That relationship can also blossom to what God wants it to be. Only, like I told you, run away from sin. That power, that ability to be able to run away from sin, God will grant unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Sin will become something we don't even want to live by. Amen? Look, the nature of man is man. It's a little bit difficult for us to say, okay, now, everything is okay. No. Once a while, like I told you, and I always tell you, we fall into sin. But we will never sit down and calculate how to, carry out sinful acts without being caught. When your heart is straying and is going towards thinking about evil, you quickly correct yourself. But it is possible once a while that we fall into sin. For example, sin of anger. Nobody plans to be hungry, do you? I don't know whether you just dress up one day and you're going to the office and then you now say in your heart that this office I'm going to this morning, I'm going to be angry with everybody there. No. It all depends on the circumstances. So once a while you can fall, the man. And when you fall, the Holy Spirit will do what? will convict you. Now, the question is, do you begin to argue with the Holy Spirit, or do you just realize that, look, here is the Holy Spirit speaking, and then begin to ask for mercy and forgiveness right away? I've told you the story of a pastor who somebody went and wee-wee by the window. And he came out in anger and slapped the man, Bosa. And after, people came, meanwhile, the man he slapped is already drunk. He doesn't even know what he was doing. And then he went back to his class. And then the Holy Spirit started convicting him. Were you supposed to have done that as a child of God? He started arguing. See, he came to peace by my window. He said for almost 5 minutes, he said he was arguing with the Holy Spirit. Before he realized that, look, you are a child of God. It is your Father that is speaking to you. Come on, shut up and listen. And then he started asking for forgiveness. I also told you the story of Daddy Gio, who said for 3 months or so, he looked at his life, missing. It was a Tuesday. He said he was so happy. His head was swelled head. He had his pumped up personality. He's so happy with himself. Ah! Adeboye, you have arrived, Then, Tuesday program began, and the choir was singing all the key. He took out the microphone and started lambasting the choir. I said, immediately, the Holy Spirit said, look at the shameless man. Look at the man who never go and get angry. He said, right there, he said, asking for mercy. So, it's not that we will not fall into sin, we will, but when the Holy Spirit convicts you, recognize that fact and ask for mercy. And it's always there. His mercy is always available for us. The blood is always available for us. May we be able to discern this in the mighty name of Jesus. But as a child of God, you will not plan to commit evil. A child of God does not plan to commit evil. In Proverbs 16, I think, if I get it that very well. This 16 of God. Where it says, these things I have hid. I don't think it's 16. I think it's Proverbs chapter 6 or so. These things I have hid. The seventh is an abomination. And he mentioned all those things that is, Proverbs chapter 6, if I get it very well. 6:16, okay. So that, since I was carrying them, I was missing them for the day. Leaving them up. 6:16. Look at those things that God said, these are things that you can't fall into them. People just plan them. Praise the Lord. These 6 things the Lord hates, some are destructible unto him. King James Version says, this is things God has hated, and the seven is an abomination. And then he begins to list them. This version, I don't like it. Let's see how it is listed in King James Version. This is things the Lord hates. Yeah, seven are an abomination unto him. Now, let's begin to mention them. Please, go ahead. The next verse, please. It's just the version I don't like the version I have here. A proud look. Can you imagine that? A heart that devises wicked schemes. You just sit down and then be planning wicked, schemes. That will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And then the last one, a person who shares some conflict in the community. Just It's only just to steer, moving from one person to another, telling them lies and sharing, cooking up conspiracy theories. That's it. God says such an individual is an abomination. Brethren, I want us to stand up this morning. Father, let's stay on our feet and ask God, let's first of all say, Father, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. In every area, O Lord, where I have dipped my sonship in water, the power of being your child, where I have misused or have thrown it away, Daddy, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me this morning, Lord. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Today is a special day. We call it Valentine's Day in the world, but it's a special day between the church and her husband. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus so much loved us. He loved the church that he gave his life. He loved us. He gave his life for us. He died for us, that we may be called sons and daughters of God. So those who believe in him, he gave us the power. Father, let me not relinquish this power, O Lord. Let me not walk out of this power. In the mighty name of Jesus, let me remember the golden rule of being your child, that I can approach you at any time, and I must run away from sin. Lord Almighty, I pray today, establish your love. Renew your love with me. In the mighty name of Jesus. The love you have for me, that will never make you to forget me. Father, renew it for me tonight, this morning. Renew it in my life. This power of sonship will never be relinquished in the mighty name of Jesus. So that I will run away from sin. And whenever I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit, I will immediately begin to ask for forgiveness. I receive forgiveness from you in the mighty name of Jesus. I receive forgiveness from you, O Lord, in my relationship with my wife, with my children, with your church, with you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Today, O Lord, I receive you anew into my life. I receive you anew into my life, Father. I receive you anew. I surrender all to you. In the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.